Hi there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Morehead State University President, Dr. Jay Morgan. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Hi, good morning, Leanne. It's a beautiful day on campus.
Absolutely. It's getting cooler here, and fall is definitely right around the corner. But we do have a lot to talk about today. There's some tough stuff that we need to discuss, so let's go ahead and get that out of the way. The semester at Morehead State has looked a lot different. We've talked about that before, but overall, the number of COVID cases on campus haven't been too high. Let's talk a little bit about how many cases we have at this point and the overall numbers.
Sure, I'd be glad to. The first thing we do, Leanne, I always encourage people to look at our website. We always publish moreheadstate.edu/healthy@MSU. And if you'll go to that, we're posting cases about every 4 days or so. The reason we don't do it every day is because sometimes you don't get testing back. And so in conversations with our public health officials at the state level, they recommended doing every 3-4 days or so on a rolling average. That seems to be working well for us. It looks like we're averaging about roughly 10 cases a week. Now, that's a rough average. You can go back and you can see a little up and a little down, which is not a bad number for us. So, and even if you want to break that down a little bit further, it looks like we're averaging about half of those on campus in our residence halls and roughly about half off campus. So a good feel. What that tells us really is two things. Number one is that if you compare us to a lot of other campuses, we are doing a phenomenal job. And that's through everybody's work, faculty, staff, students, the community, working with public health officials and otherwise, but it also tells me we're not seeing a tremendous spike in any one week. It's kind of a steady 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 people each week, and we feel like that's a pretty good place to be right now.
Now, there are some students in quarantine. Morehead State kind of blocked off an entire building on campus in order for students who needed to quarantine to be living there. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on. How do they even, I don't know what the procedure is since I'm not a student on campus. Right. What happens when a student tests positive or when a student is needing to go into quarantine?
Sure. We do have one entire residence hall blocked off for students. We try to put people in a singular room, and again, we a little bit of overkill. We've got a whole bunch of rooms blocked off, and we haven't even approached the need to use all of them. So a little bit of the details. If a student who lives on our campus tests positive, Goldie Williams, Max Ammons, Kim Oatman, and a few other people who are kind of by function, line up, getting them tested over at St. Clair. St. Clair has been great to work with. They get their food lined up, and then they also will move them into a single room in our quarantine hall. While they're there, they're asked to stay usually about 14 days. Some people might stay a little bit more. During that time, Goldie Williams will monitor them with a number of individuals, kind of health care oriented folks will monitor them. Auxiliaries will bring them food. And it's not like staying at the Hilton where you can order room service, but we do provide room service. We provide them microwaves where they can warm some food up, watch TV, and do some other things. And then just like anyone who would be quarantined in the community, after a set amount of time, we work with them and the health officials, particularly the public health department, to release them. If a student's off campus, it's they go to their apartment or home or back home to a neighboring county, to their house in the basement or wherever they need to go. So we feel like we have a pretty good process down that's working. And hopefully we can continue that. So.
Now, I know that some students have chosen to go home, and they even go home to get te before they even get tested and don't come back often. Do you know about those numbers? Are those numbers included in the numbers that are reported on campus, or is it kind of one of those things that's just hard to track?
We think we know most all the cases, and I can't give you a percentage, but when I say most all of them, you are correct. There are a number of students who we may not know about who go home, neighboring county, a couple of counties over. They get tested in their home health department. Let's say they test positive at the home health department and then remain at home in the back bedroom or the basement or the loft apartment back wherever they're from. Unless they tell us, we never know. Now, there are probably a few cases like that, but I think we think most of the time we're capturing all the cases. So most of our students live, as here in town, and then we have a number of commuters that probably get tested in their home health departments. Some probably tell us, some probably just don't come to class for a week or two. So.
I know that because I have a team that I manage here, it's kind of hard. It's like if you get this, how do I expect you to work? Or do I expect you to not work? And I imagine that it's really, really difficult for our professors on campus because if a student texts you or messages you and says, I have COVID, like you don't want to invade their privacy and be like, how are you feeling? Like, do you have symptoms? Are you going to be able to do your classwork remotely? I mean, it's a tough situation for our professors to be in.
It is. I'm being very complimentary of our faculty in general, and those faculty include even our staff who teach, some occasional courses, because even before COVID, our campus and faculty were known as a very good faculty, very student-friendly, student-oriented. And I think that speaks well of what many of them are trying to do during this. So if a student, has an issue in a class, regardless of where it is on campus, we're getting reports that faculty and instructors are trying their best to work through with them, sending them materials electronically, trying to get them caught up. And so far, we think things are working okay. It is very frustrating because every case is different. There's not just a process map to follow in every single case. Every single case is different. But we are getting some good reports that faculty are working well with students, so it's appreciated.
Because of the pandemic, the state mandated that all public universities make some big budget cuts to this fiscal year, which is something that had already been decided, already, everybody was already in the process of spending the money that had been allocated to them. And Morehead State only had a couple weeks to make those decisions. So let's talk a little bit about the numbers. How much money had to be cut here at MSU, and how did you and your team decide which cuts to make?
Sure. Going back a couple of weeks ago, we did receive a memo from the State Budget Office asking us to plan for a 8% state appropriation budget reduction. We were asked to present that plan back to the State Budget Office, and we did so. We were given about 2.5 weeks or so to do that. And I understand where the state is. They're, obviously trying to make up shortfalls along the way that they have seen as well in tax revenue. That 8% for us is about $3.06 million. So just a little bit over $3 million. And that's a tough bite for us. You were correct in your earlier statement. We were already going this year. We had a budget in place. We had a feeling back in the summer that there would be some level of reduction. We just did not know how much. So we had set aside roughly about $1 million of contingency funds, hoping we would never have to use it. Well, we're having to use it. So to achieve this roughly $3 million, we're using a combination of contingency and reserve funds. That's our rainy day money. Just like, you would ha have at home in your savings account. We're using some rainy day funds. We are delaying hiring for a number of new employees. We are not affecting any current employees. So kind of use the phrase, if you're here, you're here. And if you're not here yet, it may be a while before you get here. So we're delaying a number of hires to capture some personnel vacancy savings. Luckily, and to the positive for us, we had a little bit more revenue of tuition than we anticipated, and that's a good thing. Life was a little bit better than what we thought it might be, so we're using some excess tuition funds. And unfortunately, we're having to reduce some travel and operating money. You put all that together, and we're using five or six or seven buckets of money to get to this $3.06 million. So we can do it. We don't like it. It does strain us some. And we hope it's for this year only, but if it's going forward in future years, we'd probably have to look at a different strategy at that point. So that's where we are right now. And mix all that in with the frustrations of the pandemic and just makes life ever more frustrating. But we'll get through it.
And on that note, we're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
Visit the Rowan County Farmers Market, 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays until sellout near the Moorhead City Park. Homegrown fruits, vegetables, baked goods, and nature-made products. Accepting Community Farm Alliance Double Dollars, WIC, and Senior Farmers Market Nutrition Vouchers. CDC recommended COVID-19 guidelines in place for your safety. Support local farmers 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays in Moorhead. The Rowan County Farmers Market is Kentucky proud.
And we're back here on Open Mic here at Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Dr. Jay Morgan, the president of Moorhead State University. Thanks again for being here.
Great, Leanne. Thank you.
We're talking a little bit about some changes that are happening this semester. One thing that I know a lot of people are disappointed in is not being able to come to town for our homecomings celebration. Normally, we would be preparing for an influx of alumni here on campus, and obviously that can't happen. But the university does have something a little different planned.
It does, Leanne, and we are a little disappointed, just like others are, about not being able to have an in-person homecoming. As soon as I look outside on campus and I see that first mum being planted in end of September, early October, you see a few leaves outside starting to fall and a little tinge of brown, I start thinking about, homecoming, middle of October. And unfortunately, because of all the pandemic issues, we're going to have to move all of those normal lively events to virtual. This is the first time that I'm aware of in the university's history that we're going to try to squeeze in a virtual homecoming, and it just doesn't feel right. But we're going to try it. Our folks are going to be filming a number of things to push out. We've got some film crews that are going to do. We're going to host our traditional bricklaying ceremony, but we're going to do it virtual. A lot of events will turn to virtual, but the positive piece there is maybe some individuals that normally do not come to homecoming can view them online and have them at their disposal there. So that might be a positive piece within this.
I know some people do have difficulty just finding a hotel room for the weekend when it's homecoming week. So, I guess if there's not that many people coming into town, a lot more people can participate. And I do hope that we do have good attendance for that. I saw an email recently about getting a t-shirt. So I know that it has already started.
Stay tuned, October 16 through 18. But next fall of 21, pending our environment is better, we'll double our efforts and have an even better one.
Now, because of changes to the fall calendar, the semester here at MSU is going to be ending a little sooner than it usually does. Everybody's going to go home for Thanksgiving, and they won't be coming back for several weeks. But that means a new opportunity opened up for a second winter session. There'll be two separate winter sessions. Tell me a little bit about what kind of classes are going to be offered and how that's going to be in person, online. How's that going to work this year?
Sure. We are going to end our fall semester on November the 24th. That's the day before we traditionally break for the Thanksgiving holidays. That is a little bit earlier than normal. And we thought the thought behind that was, why let students go home for Thanksgiving and then just bring them back for a week or week and a half? Let's just go ahead and end it. So we compressed part of the semester for the fall. But what that did, it created a little bit longer, what we would call winter break. And in doing so, as you know, we normally have one winter term session, even in normal years. That normal winter term session, we'll do it again this December and early January. That will host 100% online courses, just like we normally do. And in just about any given winter term, we average about a couple of hundred students taking a winter term course. Many of them just want to catch up on something, or some want to get ahead, or they want something to do while they're at home, you know, for the holidays online. Taking advantage of a larger break, we're going to run a second winter term that will start in early December and go all the way to January the 8th. But what will be a little bit different in winter term two versus winter term one is winter term two will be online, except for students will be able to come to campus January 4 through 8 in order to take in-person classes. So that could be the first part of winter term two might be online, and then a student might come and finish up a musical studio, or they might come and do a laboratory in chemistry, or they might come and you know, finish up some type of in-person team project during that week of January 4 through 8. So we're trying to open up some hybrid capabilities with that in-person week of January 4 through 8 for winter term two. Our goal, Leanne, was simply to create as many opportunities for students as we could, and then students can pick what works best for them. And that's been our strategy all along. Try to present as many opportunities, and then students can kind of custom craft what they need their schedules to look like. Again, student-friendly campus.
I feel like a lot of educators and professionals out there who are working on, additional degrees spend a lot of time with the winter session and the summer session doing classes when their regular job duties aren't as demanding. So this is going to be a whole nother opportunity. How was it decided what classes would be offered?
Well, we leave the types of classes to be offered really to the provost, the deans, and the faculty. Any instructor that wants to teach a winter term one or winter term two course should talk to their department chair or dean. And just like we have in previous years, we schedule them and we see which classes make and which classes do not make. In general, if you feel like you can deliver your class 100% online, teach it in winter term one. If you are a course like chemistry, biology, physics, maybe something with an art or musical studio component, you probably ought to look at winter term two. But we ask all of the instructors who want to teach, just talk to your chair and let's see if we can put it on the schedule. And students will start registering for that somewhere around early November. And then we'll get a feel of which classes make and which do not.
And then spring semester is actually going to start a little bit later as well, and not having a spring break this year.
Yes, very different. Going all the way back to my undergraduate days, I always remember a spring break, and it seems like I always had to work during spring break. It never was very fun.
Me too.
But, you know, in looking at the spring term calendar, we did modify a little bit. Actually, just about every university in Kentucky modified a little bit. We were originally scheduled to start classes for the spring on January the 11th. But most all universities have opted to move them back to January the 19th. And really, there's a couple of reasons there. One is at the very end of the winter term break, there's that proverbial New Year's Eve celebration. And people will probably be going out and having festivities and big occasions and parties. And after that, we wanted to create about a 14 or 15 day window before we bring everybody back to campus by the thousands, just to make sure we've tried to mitigate as many issues as possible. And if anybody was maybe in the wrong place and picked up COVID-19, we give them a little bit of time to identify that. So that's one reason we pushed it back from the 11th to the 19th. The second reason was, if we bring students back on January 11th, and then we turn around and celebrate the three-day Martin Luther King Jr. holiday weekend, many of our students will turn around and go right back home. Mm-hmm. And one of our strategies, as you know, from the fall was to get students tested before they come to campus. Well, it's kind of hard to test them twice in a two-week period there. So we're going to start on the 19th. We're going to have a Martin Luther King Jr. Day virtual celebration on the 18th. And we think we can mitigate not only that, that going back home aspect of students, but also put in that 14-day window after New Year's Eve. It also really, as a third component, shortens the amount of wintry months that we have to deal with. Cold, cough, and flu season, and we're hopeful that we can get to that March 1 better weather time, get people back outside. So there were a lot of reasons kind of wound up in there to start on January 19th, but we'll end on time. Everything will look the same. No spring break, unfortunately.
Now, speaking of cold, cough, and flu season, that's coming upon us, and I know the university is making some plans to do flu shots and also to test for COVID on campus again.
We do. We're trying to work with not only St. Clair Healthcare, but our public health officials and on-campus health professionals. For the past week or two, you may have seen signs out here on the boulevard about come get your flu shot. Our MSU Counseling and Health Services office has been offering flu shots to students, faculty, and staff, our university community. They will continue to do that probably through five or six more flu shot clinics. You can walk right up. They're providing them weather permitted outside. You step over to the table in the tent there, get your flu shot real quick, and probably be out in under 10 minutes. We are also asking individuals, if they don't want to do it on campus, see your local health provider, go down to the pharmacy and get one. You can go to hospital, St. Clair Healthcare is providing them, number of places that you can get them. But we think that's an important piece of public health if you will get one. And I understand some people may need to confer with their medical providers and for some reasons not get one for medical reasons. The other thing that we're doing, since we're talking about testing, is we should have another round of COVID-19 testing here on campus. We did that about 2 or 3 weeks ago. We'll do that again. We do not have the date scheduled yet, but we're looking sometime in October. Once we get that scheduled, we'll message that out. That worked very well last time. We had people lined up down in Laughlin. Laughlin Health Building in the gym, and we'll try to do that again here in just maybe a week or two.
And on that note, that's all the time we have here on Open Mic. Morehead State University President Dr. Jay Morgan, I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Thanks, Leanne. Enjoy this beautiful weather, and we'll try to get outside more as long as we can.
Thanks for tuning in to Open Mic. Our show is produced by Greg Jenkins, and our theme music is Turtle in the Creek, composed by Galen Green and performed by The Looks. Produced by Morehead State Public Radio with the generous support of listeners just like you. We'll see you next Friday.